Hey friends, welcome to Let's Be Clear. I am Clear Cherry Reeves, and this is a podcast where we get clear, pun intended, about how to find a kingdom perspective in all things. No, really, all things. Whether it be about pursuing your dreams, finding hope in hardship, or just talking about Jesus, we will get raw and honest. I believe it will encourage you. Now, let's dig in. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Let's Be Clear. I hope you're having the best start to your week. I love being back in the rhythm of podcasting. Oh my goodness, I have missed this space so much, and I just feel such a revived passion for it. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your reviews. Thank you for your messages. Thank you for letting me know you're listening. Thank you for sharing and tagging us. It just means so much to me. I love to hear what stands out to you guys with the different interviews and what inspires you, or maybe how one of the ones where it's just me is helping you dig into your quiet time or whatever it is. But anyway, did you listen to the last episode? If you did not, you must go back and listen. I know I'm a broken record when it comes to that, and I know I always say it, but really, I had the privilege to interview Parker and Jeff Bird. Parker lost part of his lower right leg before he was positioned to start on the East Carolina University baseball team, our local university in Greenville, North Carolina, and talking to them just about how they navigated that detour and how God was so alive and present and purposeful in their pain, and just about dreaming and keeping hope on the horizon when things are not how you expected them to be. It was just really special. So go back and listen if you did not. But today we are talking about a word that I use a lot, love a lot, we all do. And what is that word? Words. Yes, I meant to say that. Words. Why are they so important? Why do they matter? Obviously, I love words, and probably a little too much. My husband might say I could use less of them, but they are a huge part of what I do, and obviously the main ingredient of being an author and a podcaster. But it's not just that I love words. It's that Jesus has so much to say about them. And what do we use every single day to communicate with those we love, those we just meet, and everyone around us? Words. Exactly. They are so crucial. We cannot deny the reality of how important they are and how much they affect our everyday lives, both the words that we say and those we hear. So I wanted to start off with one of my favorite scriptures. It's Psalm 19:14. You've probably already heard it. It's beautiful, and it just really speaks to the heart of the matter. It's, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." So the words of our mouths always stem from the meditation of our hearts, right? Scripture talks about this all the time, that the words are the overflow of what we are focused on. Which brings me to my first point with words, and that is this. Are you listening? If you got sidetracked and squirreled out, tune back in. Okay, words are the overflow of your focus and the fruit of your attention. They always reveal where your eyes are. You can say all day long, and we're all guilty of this, right, that we are committed to a certain cause or direction or being more hope-filled or whatever it is. But it is our words that reveal what's consuming us, both consciously and subconsciously. So throughout today's podcast, we're just going to walk through a couple different things that words do. Like, what purpose do they serve in our lives, and why are they so important? So the first one is, words either dampen your faith or they declare life. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." I was just talking to a friend about this, and she's like, "God, that sounds so dramatic. Like, it sounds a little intense and heavy. And is that word, you know, death and life? Like, is death necessary?" And yeah, it is, because it's true. You know, I mean, the words that we say ultimately determine whether we experience death or life in our everyday moments, not the literal death. Well, actually, there is a lot of studies that do say that our language very much results in what we do, how we steward our lives, and ultimately the decisions we make, which do affect our lifespan. But from a more figurative stance, a metaphorical stance, it's our everyday experiences. And are we inviting the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit into them? At every moment, you are either doing two things, okay? You are either fanning the flame or you are extinguishing it. And there really is no in between. Like, you are either speaking faith or you are speaking fear. You are either giving breath to your worries or you're worshiping God in your speech. You are either giving space for gratitude or your spirit is accustomed to grumbling. You train your words, your mouth, your lips to recite and respond and rehearse certain things as you live. And a lot of it's habitual. Like, I think we get into these, especially in certain seasons, it's harder, you know, and I don't mean positive. I think sometimes the word positive seems like we have to deny reality. But what I'm saying is that we allow the presence of Jesus to determine our words. And I think one of the biggest ploys of the enemy is that he likes to try and convince you that the little side conversations or like the in-between chatter of life or the internal chatter, okay, that's the kicker, in your own mind, that they don't make a huge difference, you know. But the more we stamp on something that it's not that big of a deal, the less seriously we take it. And the more that we will justify, rationalize, and excuse things that are harming us as insignificant or trivial. Here's something I want you to pay attention to. You, and listen to this carefully, okay? You can't always change the logistics of your situation, but you can alter your language. You don't control the particulars of what's happening, but you do control your perspective on who controls what's happening, right? It is the who, not the what. It's the who, not the how. It's the who, not the when. It's the who, not the why. We, a lot of times, are going to be in a situation that, frankly, we don't like. And if our language is about our preference, then we're going to have a really hard time remaining people of hope when life throws us curveballs, right? Have you noticed how when you're around like a certain friend, you say words that they say, or you even adopt a little more twang if they're country? And I know it sounds silly, but it's like when it comes to words, we imitate what's around us and what we are being exposed to. So I guess one thing I wanted to ask you, and I want you to really kind of take inventory, is does your language feel shallow or shameful or soul draining? And if it feels any three of those, I heavily suggest that you change your supplier. And how do you change your supplier? Instead of looking to the world, you open the word. Here is a fun fact. It's true. When you make reading the Bible a priority, the words that you say will automatically be affected by the worshipful posture of your heart. A lot of times our words really are, they are that overflow, right? They are that in between. I always say that like a pastor's heart is revealed, not what he prepares or she prepares to say on stage, but what's said in the in between, what's said is in the preparation phase, what's said when something or offense comes against them, what's said when that message is challenged, what's said in the everyday banter, right? That is what reveals the posture of our hearts. And opening the Bible helps us realign our words with words of life instead of words of death. Second is words, and this is one that'll kind of like, it's not trippy, but you got to kind of think about it for a second. Words dictate how you view the presence of God. And that may sound aggressive or intense to say, but how you view God and how you see his presence determines everything about how you see, and therefore what you do about what you see, right? Because what you see determines your response. And what you believe about the presence of God will be revealed by your language about your circumstances. If you believe the presence of God is this same one that split the Red Sea and raised Lazarus from the dead and prepared David to fight Goliath and multiplied the bread and the fish and the harvest and slayed any opposition in its way, then you can be in the middle of challenging circumstances or a detour you did not expect, or even tragedy, and still have the language of hope. Choosing hope-filled words amidst weary circumstances does not mean you're ignoring reality. It just means you're focusing on the presence of God amidst that reality. That's it, right? That's the kicker. Where is our focus? Not is this my preference, but can I see God's presence, right? What question are we asking? And y'all, how else will the world get to see like someone standing in faith and declaring hope where there seems to be hopelessness if it's not us, right? We have a responsibility because we know truth, because we know that ultimately just because the scene doesn't look promising doesn't mean the victory isn't promised, because we know who's in control. Words always reveal what we truly believe about the Word of God. If we believe that the Word of God is true, then even when our situation feels hard or when it feels heavy, we know that 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 our Savior is making a way. And if we believe that the Word of God is true, then even when our steps feel confusing or the timeline feels delayed, we can trust the Great Shepherd withholds nothing good from those who love Him. He withholds nothing good. You know, I was thinking about it when just jotting down some bullet points for the podcast, and I remember when we were in the hospital with Sledge, and Will and I both felt, and it kind of like came to head at the same time where we expressed it to one another, and I was like, wow, we really both felt that urgency to talk about the presence of God before we talked about the problems that we were facing. Because you really, if you go one way, it really can lead you down just a dismal path. And so much, there's so many things we don't control, especially when we're navigating something like that, you know, when we're in the hospital or even now. It's like, Lord, thank you for, you know, these several things you're doing, and I'm going to give voice to that. And thank you that even though there is said problem in the future or currently that we're navigating, I thank you that you are connecting the dots. I thank you that you're making the connections that we need to get the right resources. I thank you that you're fortifying Sledge's body and he is learning how to navigate the hard stuff. I thank you that we are not where we once were, right? And so even in those moments where there is a lot of uncertainty and it is hard and it is confusing and it's easy to talk about the problems and they feel large and a lot louder, when you do focus on the presence of God, you really do handle the problems differently because you're literally taking like another person to that situation. And so what would it look like for you in your life? Like maybe there's a certain area or aspect where you really need to ask the Holy Spirit, can you help me focus on your presence instead of the problems I'm facing in whatever area it is? When you give more breath, and this is a point I want you to write down if you can, when you give more breath to what you can't see rather than what you can, the Holy Spirit will begin to give you supernatural vision for where you are. I love the scripture in Isaiah. It's Isaiah 57:15, and it says, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who was of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." I love the scripture because it means that, yeah, even when we don't feel or when we don't see his hand, our words can represent the truth that he is still reviving our spirit and he is still reviving our hearts. I mean, he promises that, right? And he speaks to that. Hey, look, I know you will get to those low places and I am doing great work there. I dwell there. Call out my presence. Recognize it. Let your words be filled with truth about who I am instead of what you don't understand. The third point is that words determine the perspective you feed about your circumstance. And a lot of this might feel not redundant, but it's kind of like it's reiterating the same thing in a different way. In other words, like, we've kind of already gone through this point, but essentially, if you don't like the perspective you're feeding, you need to change your words. Preparation and being aware of what could happen, y'all, is so important. Like, that's good. That's wise, right? However, there's a massive difference between being aware of the worst case scenario and then silently preparing to have to endure it. There's also a huge difference between your worst case scenario without God having gone before you and with God having gone before you. When you check your words, are you imagining yourself? And this is an important question. When you check your words right now, where you are with what you're doing, are you imagining yourself having to navigate this alone? Or are you imagining God there with you? What are you feeding? Can you tell there's a common theme among this podcast, right? It's that you have the authority and power of the Holy Spirit. And your words carry far more weight than you think they do. They are worth protecting. They are worth protecting. The fourth point is words direct your emotions when they're fickle. And y'all, as we well know, emotions are notorious for being all over the place, right? We are people with big feelings, and that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. But the nature of them is that they're reactive. They're up and they're down. They're feeling one thing in one moment and one thing in another. And oftentimes, we let our emotions continuously coach our words instead of the other way around. So here's the truth. When you say, or when you hear your own voice say out loud over and over and over again how tired you are, or how overwhelmed that you are, or how worried that you are, or whatever it is, chances are that emotion will be amplified more and more, right? It's like pouring gas on the fire, right? You either, what did we say earlier? You either fan the flame or you extinguish it of faith. And so are we pouring gasoline on things that revive our soul and we're fanning the flame? Or are we trying to light the wrong kind of fire and dramatize and make things hysteric or worrisome instead of turning to prayer? Like, what do our words consist of and what direction are we putting them in? Maybe you've noticed this, like your plate is full and all you can talk about is how overwhelmed and how over capacity you are. Or you've been praying for something and you've been wanting it to happen. And the more you rehearse it, the more internally frustrated and impatient you feel. So what do? You choose words that are life-giving, hope-filled, and biblically aligned. See, words are a rudder, and this is important. Words are a rudder that can help steer your emotions and what is true rather than focus on what feels true. And I know that is like, is it possible for something to be true and not feel true? Absolutely. It's all the time. That happens all the time. Like, we can be in a situation and not feel the presence of God, or not feel like he's for us, or not feel like he's working, or not feel like things are, you know, that he's our advocate, or not feel certain things just due to our short-sightedness or our weariness, or we're tired or whatever it is. But we know what is true. And so our words can either align with the emotions we feel in the moment or the truth that we know is eternal. It can feel true that something's too hard and too difficult to navigate, but what is true, right, is that the Holy Spirit does not guide where he doesn't prepare and provide you. It can feel true that it's happening for everyone else and all the doors are opening for them and God hears their prayers but not yours. But what is true is that God is working on your behalf always, and he doesn't withhold good from you like we talked about. And your assumptions of others are often just that. They are often assumptions. Words have the power to either catalyze the hysteria or calm the drama. They either highlight the presence of God amidst difficulty, or they diminish it. What are your words doing? And what's your natural lean? I mean, I think our flesh, like, we like the hysteria sometimes because I don't know if it feeds our attention. I don't know if it feeds our ego. I don't know if we feel like then I don't know. But I think if we can take a step back and really try and focus on what is true instead of what feels true, I think it'll be really wise for our situation and help us see past just the current momentary place we are. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, "We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ." We teach them to obey Christ. In other words, our thoughts are inherently not always going to be aligning with Scripture, and therefore our words will inherently flow. And so we have to use the weapons God has given us to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning, right, and to destroy things that pop up and say, "No, you're not welcome here. I am going to speak words of life no matter what comes against me, because I know who I know, who I know, and He's in control. And He's got this, right? This is not His first rodeo." So the fifth point is words either draw people to Jesus or deter them away from Him. The truth is, you're always sending out a ripple effect. It's the beauty and the power of human connection and community, but people are affected by how you speak. They're affected by how you act. They're affected by how you respond, both when they are hyper aware of it and when they are not. And I feel like the easiest way to understand this is true is by thinking about it for your own self. Like, how do the words of others and what they say affect you? When your husband responds with grace and patience instead of frustration, does it help you see Jesus in that moment? When your friend listens to your worries but then reminds you of Jesus' presence amidst them and asks to pray with you, instead of letting you go on a tear, does it help you see Jesus in that moment? And vice versa. Like, when someone says something that's unkind or not true, it is obvious that the point of their words is not to edify or build your faith, right? And so I just wanted to throw out some questions, and these are just good to marinate on as you listen, as you think about your day, as you take inventory of your words and the words you tune into of others. First one is, are you taking inventory of your words, or are you believing the lie that they don't really matter? If your words were repeated, would you be proud or embarrassed if others you admired heard them? Rather, if Jesus heard them. Does your internal chatter build yourself up or tear yourself down? Because the words you say often become the tone in which you speak to others and the words that you say to them. And the last question is, does the fruit of your life reveal that you've been with Jesus, or that you've forgotten Him? Are you concentrated more on His presence than the problems that you're facing? It is possible to be in the midst of a valley and declare hope and praise God for what He is doing and speak life over the transformation you feel happening inside of you, because we all know that it's the hard times in life when we are being cultivated, right? When our spirit is being built. Proverbs 15:4 says, "A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." I love that scripture. A tree of life. I mean, ultimately, guys, the reason why words are also so important is that we have to give an account for them. I mean, scripture's pretty clear about this in Matthew. It says your words will either acquit or condemn you. And you will have to give an account of every word that you speak. I'm going to read the scripture in a second, but it does not say every planned word or every controlled word or every word amid circumstances that fit your preferences or whatever. It is every idle word, every word that exits your lips. Matthew 12:30-38 says, "A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. of a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. From the treasury of a good heart. That's it. That's what Scripture says. From the treasury of a good heart. If we are struggling in our language, it is an inside-out problem. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the overflow of the heart is determined by the focus point of the eyes, right? So if words are so important, how do we choose good, holy, wise ones? How do we speak when uncertainty feels so loud? We talk about what we do know. What do we know in every single circumstance? We know the character of our Heavenly Father and the access and unlimited supply He gives all His children. Right? Words of faith, and this is a good point to write down if you can. Words of faith and hope can always be cultivated when the focus is on the one who controls all the circumstances rather than the circumstances themselves. Guys, words matter. They matter a lot. And the ones that you say to Jesus, the ones that you utter under your breath as you're working, the ones you listen to as you listen to music, the ones that you don't even realize you're speaking over yourself, the ones that you say when you're frazzled, the ones that you say to others, the ones that you pray. So my advice to myself, myself first and foremost, trust me, and you guys, is to talk to Jesus first, and His words will bring life to the ones you release. I'm going to close up with a Monday prayer, but if this podcast encouraged you, y'all, it is so helpful when y'all rate it and review it. And reading your reviews, I mean, I don't know how else to tell you. Like, I mean, it makes me jolly, like Santa Claus. Like, it fills my heart so much that this podcast meets you where you are. And I really do spend, you know, a lot of time digging in and trying to kind of see these words, the little word. Words and different words and scripture and topics and whatever it is in different perspectives and to really dig deep for you guys. So I hope that it met you where you are. And if it did, would you mind rating it or reviewing it, sending it to a friend? It literally takes 2 seconds and it's so helpful. But I'm grateful. Speaking of words, I am grateful for you guys. And I hope that this week you really remember that so much of the fruit of your life is in those seeds that you are sowing and watering with the words that you let come out of your mouth, and also are heavily affected by the words that you allow your ears to listen to. And so what might need to change? What might need to change? I'm going to close up with a Monday prayer. If you can, close your eyes. If not, no worries. Hey, Jesus, thank you for the gift of another Monday. I'm so grateful for the way you prepare me for every day and every space I enter before I ever step in that direction. You are such a good and faithful Father. Help me remember this truth when the future seems daunting or I feel ill-equipped to keep going. Thank you for reminding me of the power of words and the gift that they are when they align with you. Like honey to the soul and medicine for the weary heart, they are powerful and important. Before I speak to myself or others, help me talk to you first. I long for your opinion to determine the way I view everything and everyone else. Show me how to be an example in both the words I plan to say and in the overflow of my heart. May both honor you. Planting my feet in the word and prioritizing your presence, I receive the discernment and tenderness I need to speak what is helpful and true. Remind me that my words are a weapon. They can tear down strongholds, transform my worry to worship, and usher the warmth of the Holy Spirit into any space. You are my security, Jesus. When the world feels heavy, you breathe life and light. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, I'm so grateful for you. I hope this encouraged you. And I am praying for your week, believing that the presence of God is going to meet you everywhere. I mean, He's gone before you. He is with you and He travels after you. So you need not to be afraid of anything you'll encounter. You can speak hope. You can be a person of peace. And you can have great joy while you do what you do. Because the God of the universe, the one who controls everything, the one who's aware of every detail, the one who made you, knit you, knows what you don't even know about you. He has got you. And He is so trustworthy. Love you guys. Have a great week.